would like to thank Bishop Rob for inviting me and for me to be with you this morning. I am the second most senior bishop now in the CEC. And I used to hold the record of the shortest bishop in the CEC. Used to be someone had beaten me on that record. And I was also the first Filipino bishop that was consecrated. So what a great honor for me to serve the Lord in the Charismatic Episcopal Church, and I am really glad to be of service to you and bless you this morning with God's Word. Again, I would like to thank you and Bishop Rob for the opportunity. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing that is present in the midst of us. Anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to believe, and open the eyes of the blind. We acknowledge the presence of your Holy Spirit and His anointing to break any yoke of bondage that is in our midst, that your people might be set free to your glory and to your honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be, here we are. As you know, today is a special day. We celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi, which actually giving you a very quick, I would say, history of it, it was instituted by a nun from Belgium in the 13th century. She felt that there was, you know, the Blessed Sacrament was not given that emphasis. And by the name of Juliana Moncornion, that's her name. And then she turned to her archdeacon, the archdeacon of the diocese, and said, why don't we focus on and make a feast on of the Blessed Sacrament? And then this archdeacon eventually became a pope. By the name of Pope Urban, in between Pope Urban the Fourth, and then what happened was this feast became all over the church, and so that's what we are celebrating today. Having said that aside, I would like to focus more on what the Eucharist is. As you all know, we have the Eucharist every Sunday, and we can look at it in a general way. And give you a little bit of what the Scripture says about it, and then believe that God will minister to you this morning of what the Eucharist is and what the blessing that it brings to us. We all know that Jesus actually celebrated the Eucharist before he went to the cross. And on Holy Thursday, we celebrate the institution of the Eucharist, the sacrament of the Eucharist. And also, interestingly, after he was resurrected from the dead, the very first thing that he did, as we have heard today, was to celebrate the Eucharist with his disciples. So you talk about a burger, you know, it's you know, two buns right there. And it also commanded us, as we have heard in the second reading, that we should do it. It's not, you know, we do thanksgiving. It's not we hear thanksgiving or we say thanksgiving, but we do it. We do this in remembrance of him and what he has done for us until he comes. So we should never get tired of celebrating the Eucharist, he says, until he comes. We are reminded also that Jesus said, which this is my own conjecture, that is, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So every Sunday, we lift up Christ. Amen. In the Eucharist. And he is the one that is drawing the world to himself patiently. We also see that the Eucharist is not just bread and wine. It's not just, you know, we don't see bagel on Sunday, do we? We don't see croissant on Sunday. But beyond that, you know, it is actually what Christ has done on the cross that we see. We can get caught up on something that is physical, which is the bread and the wine. But we who believe it in faith believe that it is something that Christ has done that made a difference in the world that we live in and made a difference in all of us. So his death destroyed death, meaning his death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection, which opened a door for humanity to receive and participate in the new life of Christ. And we call it a great thanksgiving, because we are called to be thankful to God ever for what he has done. We should always be thankful to God, am I not right? So there's this story of a man who was a university. He was professor. An atheist. He did not believe in God. He taught his students there is no God. God is only a figment of our imagination. And so one day he was walking down the in a forest and enjoying nature. He would hear the river and the water flowing, and at the same time the leaves, you know, and the sound that it brings, and he was enjoying it. Okay, but he was really enjoying the stroll, and then all of a sudden he started hearing a big stump behind him. And he turned around and he saw a 7-foot bear. And so what came to him, he said, I should run. Am I not right? That's all you do.
That's all you do.
You know, he was not thinking, I'm going to have a big dinner tonight. You know, I'm going to kill this bear and have fun. No. So he ran, and the bear, needless to say, ran after him. And unfortunately, he tripped. And he fell. And then all of a sudden, he realized that the bear was on his neck, and the other one was going to strike him. And this is when he said, oh, my God. So there was a hush, and a light came from heaven, and everything was quiet in the forest, and all of a sudden there's this voice. So now you're calling me, huh? What's up with you? Okay, you're now calling me. You told your students, you told many people that you don't believe in me, and now you're calling me? Should I help you? And so the atheist said, God, you know, now he believes in God, I guess. I'm not asking you to help me, but at least make the bear a Christian. So boom, in an instance, the bear becomes a Christian. And the bear makes the sign of the cross and says, bless us, O Lord, and this thy gifts, which we are about to see. You always have to be thankful to God. Okay. So the bear was the one who had the meal. The body of Christ and the Eucharist points us to an understanding that we are mystically united with Christ.
The Eucharist
Christ.
Is also a celebration, particularly of the presence of Christ. Didn't he say, I will be with you even to the ends of even to the end of the ages?
And one of the greatest messages of the presence of God is hope.
Hope is one of the greatest messages of the presence of Christ.
And as the Bible says, it is the anchor of our soul. Hope in its widest sense, it may be defined as a desire and search for a future, a good future. It may be difficult to attain. In the Old Testament, hope was linked to more material security and prosperity. Farmers plant and plow their field in hope. Hope played a very important role in hoping for the Messiah, the coming
but
of the Messiah.
But we know that God is the author and the giver of hope.
We find in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope, as opposed to a dead
he
hope.
He gave us real hope and not fake news
and bogus hope. Okay, so I would like to share this story with you from the book of Dennis Prager about a rabbi, and there was this late rabbi by the name of Hugo Green, recounted a story from when he was a teenager, a prisoner in the Nazi concentration camp in Auschwitz. One midwinter evening, one of the inmates reminded us that tonight was going to be the first night of Hanukkah, which was a Jewish celebration, a festival of lights. My father then constructed a little Hanukkah menorah out of a scrap metal. For a week, he took some threads from his own prison uniform. For oil, he used some butter that he somehow procured from the guard. Observances were strictly forbidden. We were used to taking risks, so they took the risk. And then he protested to his father, and he said,
what a waste
of precious calories, which some would not
Would it not be better to share butter on a crust of bread than to burn it? He said to his father. And his father turned to him and said, My son, both of you and I know that a person can live a very long time without bread. But I tell you, a person cannot live a single day without hope.
And this comes an understanding that people sometimes would say,
why do we have to invest in a church and buy the expensive stuff? And people would say, would we not rather sell all those things and give them to the poor? People today struggle in terms of the relevance of Christian Sabbath prayer, relationship with God, even a beautiful religious ritual or edifice or a building.
But the answer is, if you take all the church buildings and all its treasures, even to the point of selling the Vatican, and give it to the poor, one day it's all going to be gone because it's all going to be consumed. But the church has something to do, and its greatest task is to share hope to the people around. When there is no hope, the church is the one that speaks hope. We light the candle of hope. So if we eradicate the church and give all the money and sold all the churches and give the money to the poor, one day it's all going to be gone. You get it? It's all going to be gone, but where would be the church that will speak the message of hope?
Today, there are 800,000 people who die of suicide in the world, which means roughly one death every 40 seconds. Why?
Because suicide is the second leading cause of death in the world for those aged 15 to 24.
According to the CDC, the Centers of Disease Control, suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in America, in the United States. Every day, approximately 123 Americans die of suicide.
There is one death by suicide in the United States every 12 minutes.
Suicide takes the lives of over 44,965 Americans every year. So I pray that if you can hear my voice, and many of us encounter sometimes a great discouragement.
Sometimes we take it for granted because,
tomorrow there's going to be a day again. The sun will rise. But sometimes we face a new day without hope in life. There are many people. So if you can hear my voice and you are at the verge of losing hope, remember these words and you will remember the shortest bishop in the CEC. Remember these words. God
loves
has
you.
Forgiven you. And God will never, never, never leave you nor forsake you. You might be here today and do need that hope. Receive it. Because the rain is there to renew and refresh us and restore us. But one thing I would ask you is to share that hope with the people around you, because there are a lot of people who are looking for it. And what the world is offering is a bogus, temporary, fake kind of hope.
Only in God can we find true hope.
We can look forward to something greater and something bigger because God is a good God.
When we face death one day, we have the hope of resurrection. Why? Because God is a great God.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
It might be short because I am, but I hope you got the message today. And I would encourage that as your bishop eventually will venture into building a cathedral, not for him, but for Maryland, for the country, that you would not even think that it's so expensive. Why? Because people do need hope. And out of that cathedral will come out the message of hope that will bring reconciliation between God and man. Amen.
Bishop.